Let us pray. Great God on high, who formed the earth and the stars by your word, you have spoken in the past, and your people have been guided through all kinds of wildernesses and supported in all kinds of trials and exiles. Speak to us today in the midst of our own peculiar confessions. Speak to us through your law and give us a sense of order and direction. Speak to us through your gospel, transforming us by your grace. Renew us in hope, for yours is the future even more than the past. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our New Testament text this morning comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. If you'd like to read along in the Blue Pew Bible, you'll find this passage on page 946, and in the Red Pew Bible on page 1203. The Word of the Lord. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? Never heard. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.
If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Before we read that, I have a little confession to make. Last Sunday I was fully prepared to preach this message and not the one that I did last Sunday. I came in on Saturday, I looked at the bulletin, and it said 1 Samuel 2, and I said, Barb must have made a mistake. It's supposed to be 1 Samuel 3. And I looked at my notes, thought, no, I made a mistake. I prepared for the wrong sermon. So, anyways, this one's kind of been simmering for almost 2 weeks now. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what that will mean. It might be stale, or it might be better that because of that. Well, listen, this is God's holy, inspired, authoritative word. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am, and ran to Eli, and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, And if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, Here I am. And Eli said, What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from David, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. Well, it was we've been going through this series that leads up to the birth of Samuel. If you'll remember, just a short while back, we had Hannah. She was in distress. She was childless. And worse than that, she had a rival wife that was giving her a hard time and haggling her about the fact that she had no kids. And so what did Hannah do? She cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard her prayer in a remarkable way, granted her request for a son. And it was last week we heard about Hannah's spirit of thanksgiving that was not just directed towards the miracle that had been done for her, but for all of God's delivering power. And we're reminded that we are too to give thanks for God's delivering power. In this case, Samuel becomes the focus. He is growing up. There's a great transition that is taking place. It hasn't totally happened yet, but it's the transition between a people ruled by judges to a people ruled by kings. And Samuel will be the one who will call the first king, but not yet. That's coming. But he's growing. Remember that Hannah dropped him off at the temple. She dedicated Samuel to the Lord. And it's not the same as the modern day dedication that some churches do instead of baptism, where parents dedicate their children. It's not that, because what Hannah does is she actually literally hands off her child to be raised by the priest. And this is where we come in. He's sleeping in the temple. It's the middle of the night. We kind of have an idea of the time, because it says that the lamp of God has not gone out yet, and the lamp would burn all night long. And Samuel and Eli are both sleeping. And so we come immediately to this story then. This passage that will make Samuel a religious leader, unofficially, but make him a religious leader of the people of Israel. He will become a prophet. And it's interesting, because when we think of Samuel, if you think of Samuel, you don't often think of him as a prophet, but that is what he is. He is one who declares the word of the Lord. We think of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, whatever, but Samuel is a prophet. But this is the making of him. It's quite a cool thing to be able to see. How is a prophet made? And this is actually a case where we get to see how a prophet is made. He's asleep in the temple. And the Lord calls out to him. And this may be a familiar story to some and maybe not to others. But he's called by the Lord. And he thinks it's Eli. He thinks it's his master. He says, "Here I am, Lord." And he comes to his servant. He comes to Eli, his master, his servant. And Eli says, you can just imagine how this really went down. I mean, all we have the words, not the attitude, right? But I mean, Eli's sleeping. And here comes Samuel waking him up. And he's like, "Leave me alone, I didn't call you." And then it happens again. Samuel hears this voice and he thinks it's Eli. And he goes back to Eli. I mean, by this point, you think that Eli might haul off and punch him. But he doesn't. He says, "Go lie down. I didn't call you." Or at least we don't know that he did. There's this note about Samuel that is interesting. It says that he didn't yet know the Lord. You see, he's sleeping in the temple of the Lord. We might make the assumption that he knows God because he's, quote, in the church. But here the Bible is teaching us that it is not sufficient to sit in the sanctuary of God does not make you a Christian anymore. And maybe you've heard this adage before, anymore that being in a garage makes you a car. Samuel had been ministering without knowledge of the Lord. But that's about to change. The third time. God comes to Samuel and he calls him, "Samuel." And Samuel runs to Eli again. And by this time, Eli gets it. He's discerning. This is the Lord. And so he tells Samuel, "Next time, if you hear this voice again, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is hearing,'" or listening, depending on which translation you have. So he says, if he does that again, you don't come to me, you go to him. Because that's the Lord talking to you. And I am not the Lord. So he goes back. He lies down. I think it says he sleeps. I don't know how he's sleeping at this point. But the Lord calls out to him. This time it says, "Samuel, Samuel. Speak, Lord. For your servant is listening." It's interesting in all of this, Eli is not jealous that the Lord is calling Samuel the boy instead of him. No, because he is a man of God and he has faults, he has weaknesses that will be made clear in this passage about how he raised his family. But he does believe in God and he wants Samuel to know the Lord. It's not jealous. He tells him what to do. "Speak, Lord." And so the question that I have for us this morning is that our response to the revelation of God? See, this was the revelation of God was coming to Samuel. He didn't recognize it, but when he was told by Eli what it was, his response was, "Speak, Lord. I want to hear from you, and I'm going to listen." Is that our response to the revelation of God? Are we saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening"? You know, we must be still to hear. And that's hard in our culture. There are a lot of things to distract us, are there not? Some of them aren't bad things. They're just things that distract us from hearing the Lord. They're not intrinsically evil. Can be the busyness just of life that gets in the way. It could just be white noise. You know, you're driving down the road and there's that hum, white noise. There's a white noise of life that gets in the way of us hearing from God. All this means, brothers and sisters, is we have to be intentional. It doesn't come to most of us just automatically that we are open containers by which every word that God speaks finds free fall in our minds and hearts. We have to be intentional about listening for God. And after listening to this story, if we are tuning ourselves into this message that God gives to Samuel, we might say, I'm not sure I want to hear. Right? Because this is a nasty message. This always makes me think about people that get the wrong idea about preachers, thinking that, especially on the evangelical side, that we love to stand up and pronounce scriptures of judgment, wrath, and condemnation. And there may be a few like that. I'd be worried about them, frankly. But no, instead it's a terrifying thing to be able to deliver judgment. And this is what Eli has to hear from Samuel. And the truth is, when we start to open up Scripture, which is the revelation of God, and we start to do that, we're going to hear some things that are challenging. I don't mean difficult to understand. There will be some of that too, but there are some things that are challenging because they're not difficult to understand. Like the message of self-surrender, being God-focused. You shall have no other gods before me. And you say, well, some of it's not too bad. I don't, if you go down the Ten Commandments, I'm pretty good with the, you shouldn't murder. Maybe even you shouldn't steal. Well, how are you doing with you shouldn't covet? Right? When we actually start to get into the Word of God, it challenges us. And what would it be worth anything if it didn't challenge us? And God is reminding us here that when we receive His revelation, when we are listening, that it's not always going to be easy. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's purely delightful. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. That's pretty pleasant to think about that. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's awesome to think about. And it's true. But there's some hard parts too. I think there's something bigger going on here. I think this is the main part, that we're supposed to learn to listen for the Word of God, the revelation of God. But Samuel is a type. Samuel is a type of Christ. He is a forerunner of Jesus Christ. When we see Samuel, we're supposed to look forward and see Christ. And you can just see certain things, like he had an abnormal birth. Like, not exactly like, but Christ also had an abnormal birth. They were both presented at the temple for service to God. Right? They both grew in favor, the Scripture says, of both of them. Both of them are in the process of entering in a new age of human history. Samuel from judges to kings, Jesus as the Messiah and the kingdom of God. Both of them exhibit to us that obedience means listening to the voice of the Lord. And so Samuel is more than just an Old Testament figure. He is a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask the question to you. It's a personal question for you to answer. And that is the Scripture said that the word of the Lord was rare in those days? And we might find that a little surprising. Right? Because this is Bible times. And we might have this image, like the the hymn that gets sung at funerals, normally at funerals it seems to me, in the garden. You know, he walks with me and he talks with me. Right? That isn't the way that it worked in the Old Testament. After the fall. We have to remember that Samuel lives after the fall. Now before the fall, God was in the cool of the evening talking with people. It was very much of in the garden theme. But after the fall, it never really quite works that way. And so the scripture says it was rare for God to reveal himself. It was not common. But the question that I'm getting to, though, is it common in your life? Because unlike Samuel's day, we live in a day where the revelation of God is abundant. It is free-flowing, and we all have access to it. It comes to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. God's revelation is contained in this book, and He pours forth speech day after day. And the question is, do you have an appetite for digesting the Word of the Lord? Are you hungry? What is your appetite like? Is the Word of God rare in your life? Well, the answer for that, one, it should be honest, but two, it should not be stagnant. In other words, if your answer is, to be honest, it's pretty rare. Which is pretty rare for, I would say, a majority of Christians in the United States. We have to realize that we've been called to go and to proclaim the Word of God. And there is no possibility of us being obedient to that call if we're not first listening to God to know what to proclaim. The back stained glass window of this building says, go into all the world, preaching the gospel. And the gospel has content that we need to know. And the only way to know it is if we're listening to the revelation of God that He has given to us. It's such an amazing thing to think about it. What a treasure that God has given us. That the King of Heaven, that the Lord and Creator of the universe would desire to speak with us and does so. We are so blessed to have the Bible. We are so blessed that the Word of God is not rare, but does it make any difference? Are we listening? This morning, it's such a blessing that we come to the table. Table of the Lord Jesus Christ is a sign and seal of the Word. It's actually why many of the Reformers argued that every time the Word is preached, the sacrament should be celebrated. They didn't win their argument, though. There was too much resistance. But the argument was, from the chief Reformers, we should celebrate the Lord's Supper every Sunday, in part because it's a sign and seal of the Word, and would you want to have a Word that isn't sealed? As John Calvin said that the sacrament is a visible sign of the Word. It's something that we can see, that we can smell, that we can taste, to remind us of God's covenant faithfulness. And so this morning, let us joyfully but reverently come to the table of the Lord as He seals His Word in our hearts and minds that we might be faithful to the command to go and make disciples. To the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.